Blog Talk Radio.
God bless everyone. God bless everyone. To those who are out there, this is Dirty Church Radio, presents Unrestricted Conversation with your host, Elder Jay Miller, with my brother here, special guest host, Pastor Sherman Boone is in the building here, man. God bless everybody out there. We love you all. We thank everyone for tuning in to Dirty Church Radio Sunday night. Today was a blessed day, praising God, fellowshipping, out and about at our brother's church this afternoon. His father, Pastor Sherman Boone, Apostle D.C. Thomas, blessed the house with a mighty word. It was an awesome fellowship and time. But we're here now, 8 o'clock tonight, Sunday night. Dirty Church Radio presents Unrestricted Conversations. And tonight we'll be tackling or diving in, dealing with drowning in truth, but swimming in lies.
Yeah.
Drowning in truth and swimming in lies. Before we get started, we're going to wait for a few more people to come on, but we appreciate everyone who's been following us, who's been on here every Sunday night with us. Dirty Church Radio presents Unrestricted Conversations. You know, Dirty Church is a place where no issue or topic is out of bounds. So this is a place where we like to have the conversation. We do stand on the principles of God. We believe in Christ. Christ is our Savior. You know, we're not on here standing from a judgmental place, looking down on anybody, but we're up here to lift people up, to bring people up. There are a lot of people that may be in a ditch, may be drowning in life. You may be, you know, life may be beating you down. So we hope that something on Dirty Church Radio can make you choose to stand up, to get up, to keep pushing, not quitting. Because we believe that if you got breath in your body, if you're still alive, you have the power to win. And you don't have to give up. You don't have to stay defeated. You don't have to be in prison in your mistakes and past failures. Don't have to lock you down in bondage. You can move in a mighty, mighty, mighty powerful way to reach your destiny and your purpose. And if you want to call in and talk with us here on Dirty Church Radio, you can call in at 657-383-1471. That's Dirty Church Radio's number where you can call in and tune in and talk live with us here. It'll be a blessing just to hear your voice, to hear your insight. Some of you may have a testimony that can really bless somebody else. You know, maybe you want your story to be heard. You want the information that you have by surviving what you went through that can pull somebody else out of where they are. So we're here to encourage. This is Dirty Church Radio, and I am Elder J. Miller, a.k.a. Mr. Miller, and this is Pastor Sherman Boone, a man of God who has a powerful word, who loves God, who's a student of the Scriptures. He's one who really likes to get into that word and give very profound insight in a very, 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 very powerful way. So we thank God, man, for everything that's going on tonight. How you doing, my brother, tonight, man?
I'm doing all right, man. Good to say, man. Blessed, man. Blessed and highly favored. I always appreciate you saving all the time. Blessed and highly favored. I'm doing good, man. Looking forward to the next shift in life, man.
The next shift in life?
The next phase of me.
Let's just say right now, before we even get into the topic, let's say right now, this is a moment God gave you, a moment right now. Mm-hmm. Well, at this moment, and I ask this question, at this very moment in time, right now, God gives you the chance to speak to the entire world at the same time, where the whole world hears your voice in these next few seconds or minutes of whatever you have to say. They hear you. Everybody, God stops everybody in their tracks, and everyone has your undivided attention. They're standing there. They can hear every word that's about to come out of your mouth. What would you say right now to the whole world? You know the climate of the world. You know everything that's taking place in the world. You're living in this world.
Right.
You're surviving in this world. You're
right.
You're fighting in this world. What would you say as a person who has accepted the call of God, that has an obligation and assignment to speak into the atmosphere, to the hearts and the minds of people, what would you say in this moment right here?
I would say let God develop the you that he sees you to be. To be honest, I think a lot of us, we're living in identities that's been shaped and molded by our experiences, been shaped and molded by our failures, been shaped and molded by our even our lack of confidence within ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, there's a greater you in you that only God can bring out. And allow God to break down the old you so the real you can come forth. Mm-hmm. Don't die a counterfeit.
Wow.
But don't die a counterfeit. Don't die as a replica of what could have been. Or what should have been. Die in the reality of knowing that you fully came. Everything that God has wanted you to God be. And it'd be a painful experience. Because anytime you have radical change, pain is a part of that change.
Mm-hmm.
Because something that you relied on for stability has to be broken down, then you can depend on your God.
Wow. That's something. You know what, bro? I was reading this paragraph in this book that I had, and it talks about, I would have said, it says, the most accurate method of making sure you do everything in harmony with heaven is to follow these three W's of decision making. Determine God's word on the matter, his specific will about it, and his way to fulfill it. These are like three traffic lights that must all be green before we can proceed on our way.
Yeah. That's good stuff right there.
Yeah, like when I was reading that, right, a lot of time, right, when I look at that, we can determine God's word on the matter because we do have his word.
Right.
To actually measure where we are at in life.
Right.
We can read, you know, his word, the Bible, the scriptures,
as a
measuring stick to where we are,
right?
And then also his specific will about it. Well, the word of God
reveals the will of God.
It reveals the will of God.
Right.
But a lot of times it seems like we have the problem in the way. How is God going to do this?
I think that, and sometimes it's a conflict with the will as well.
Yeah.
Because you understand, when you come to God, believe it or not, you're coming. When you do that prayer, you're praying with an already made up mind.
Mm-hmm.
But you come with the preconceived notion of the answer that you want God to give.
Yes.
And maybe the answer you want God to give may or might be the answer that God actually gives you at that moment in time.
Yes.
So now you're frustrated because things aren't necessarily going the way that you want it to go, but it's the way that God planned it to go.
Wow.
And it's that weird connection that most of us find ourselves in at times, like, yo, that's why prayer doesn't really change God's mind. Prayer changes your mind.
Mm.
To bring your mind in line to whatever God has already decided to do about the matter.
All right, well, I'm going to read this one right here for you. It's something on here I was reading. It says, God's will, just as God has a general will for all mankind, mm-hmm. he has a specific will for individuals. The
right.
Bible gives general criteria for making many decisions in business, travel, ministry, and use of our finances, but it does not provide many specifics. So how do we come to know the specific will of God for our lives? The scripture gives examples of many ways in which he can guide us specifically, divinely directed desire, a rhema or an illumination of a particular scriptural text.
Right.
The prophet and the personal prophecy, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the witness, the clearance, or the restraint of the Holy Spirit, wise counsel, and confirmation from other witnesses. Then it says, I'm going to read this real quick. It says, God's way. The way of God includes his timing, methods, and necessary means to do it. The who, the what, the when, the where, and how. But not necessarily the why. The continued guidance and control of circumstances by God and the patience to press on until his plan is accomplished. Often God's word and his will are much easier to determine than his way.
Right.
The word can be determined by examining a book, the will by inward personal principles and confirmations from others, but the way is a time process that must be walked out day by day because all the details of it are rarely ever revealed ahead of time.
Yeah. Oh, you know, remind me of this movie that they were battling with this person, and she had a psychic ability that she reads your mind.
Uh-huh.
So what the guy was doing was he was giving out letters of instruction to individuals that said, do not open it until this time.
Yes.
And it was only when they opened it at that time, they get the specific instructions. If they knew ahead of time, then the enemy would have been able to intercept whatever the plan was and mess it up and alter it.
Okay.
Sometimes God, if God, you know what I'm saying? Whenever God speaks, you're not the only one listening. The devil is listening too.
Mm-hmm.
He hears the same prophecy that you hear. Yeah, you're hearing. What he does is now is this. When God speaks the word over your life, he hears what God is saying, and he's already going into plan mode of how can I disrupt the plan for God. I don't know what the plan is yet. But what are ways? He is observing the same way that you observe.
Uh-huh.
Remember hear words from God, God's like, yo, I'm going to bless you with this. Automatically your mind, you're trying to map in your mind, okay, God, how is God going to do this?
Yeah. Like,
and the devil is going to do, yeah, the devil is doing the same exact thing. The devil, the devil doesn't know your future. It's not that lie. Only thing he knows for sure is his own. His argument locked up in the word. He knows his own end. He does not know your end. He does not know how you're going to get there. All he knows is the same information you know is whatever God said. But what he does is, when God speaks the word over your life, and he's speaking in an open setting, like if God prophesies over you, you're a man or a woman of God, he's hearing the same thing that you're hearing.
Uh-huh.
And he's going about a route saying, okay, what way is he going to use? Because I got to figure out how he's going to do this so I can stop it. What he doesn't know is, what he's trying to stop may be the same way that God is taking you. So his little pitfall he put around you might be the pitfall that leads you to the job or leads you to the person that you need to really meet. So if God says, I'm going to bless you with a house, he immediately gets inside your vault and explodes your vault to fire you from the job, not knowing that firing you from the job might be the pitfall to give you the unction and the faith and the courage to go start your own business. That you would never start it
if you would have been on the job.
Same job.
Okay.
So it's almost like God used the devil as his pawn, but the devil didn't know it, to get the plan apart where he needs to be.
Wow.
That's the mystery of God. That's how God like tricks the devil into blessing you.
Wow. You know something I was thinking here, right? I was sitting here. You know we got D.A. on here. He said, you sure know a lot of Satan. How you know him like that?
Hey, because his message don't change, bro. If you look throughout the Bible, you see his methodology, how the devil works. Like Paul said, we're not ignorant of the devil devices. We know his schemes. We know, if he's scouting you, you better scout him.
Yeah.
If you're in a fight, And you get tape on your opponent, you scout out his method.
You know, a lot of times, man, I look at how the enemy works. Really, he really doesn't do nothing. He makes me really do the work.
Yeah.
It's almost like dead people, they say dead people can't hurt you, but they'll make you hurt yourself.
Right.
So, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you're in a cemetery or something and you fall down in a hole and there's somebody dead, that horror of that moment will make you hurt yourself by panicking,
yeah,
running. So a lot of times, life, different situations, how the enemy may put you in, or make certain people may, you know, get in your life and produce certain things in your life that make you make certain decisions.
Right.
That's the wrong decision.
Mm-hmm.
But I really want to get to the point of how we are drowning in the atmosphere of truth. The Bible says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life.
Mm-hmm.
But we're swimming in the atmosphere of lies. A lot of people, you like this. Let's say a mother or a father has a situation amongst themselves, and the mother is mad at the father, or the father's mad at the mother, and they take it out on the child, and they tell the child things like, you're no good. You're going to grow up and be no good just like your father is.
Right.
So
right.
Now a person, that child embraces
that lie.
You know, they embrace that lie to the point where that lie becomes them.
Their reality.
It becomes their reality to the point where they know how to swim with it.
Right.
But when an opportunity comes their way to actually lift them up out of that mindset,
mm-hmm.
that are the moments that we're drowning in. We're drowning in a moment where our saving moment is there. Like, our way out is there. Like, there's someone, there's a helping hand
mm-hmm.
ready to help you and speak something into your life. But that's the moment where things get unbalanced. You become unsure. You become confused. And you begin to think. And I was looking at how the enemy, not just an outside enemy,
mm-hmm.
but just ourselves,
right.
how we become comfortable in the lies that are surrounding us.
Right.
And those are the moments where it seems like we're surviving it because we become immune to it. It feels good to us. But when we're challenged
right.
to come out of where we've been bound at,
right.
not really knowing what true freedom is, knowing that, how to really function in true freedom. I remember somebody, I forgot who was saying this, but they were saying how someone was sick for a very long time,
mm-hmm.
that they got so immune to their sickness, when the doctor began to prescribe them different medicine and begin to cure the disease, right, heal them from the disease, at that moment is when they did not know how to function. When they did not know how to function, and when they were healed, that's when they thought they were sick.
Right.
Where the healing felt like the sickness, because the sickness to them was so normal that they felt like, I'm okay, until they were healed. When I look at that as a moment, I look at that as a moment of drowning in your moment of truth, but you were swimming in your moment of the lie.
I think because the truth in itself can become overwhelming. Like if you're adopted, but you were raised with the understanding that, okay, this person was your mom.
Uh-huh.
And all you knew was them as being your mom.
Yeah,
but then you don't realize that, like, yo, when your mom, you come to reality, yo, your mom. Your mom, who you thought mom wasn't your mom at all, and you come and like now you're overwhelmed with that reality. Yo, what I thought was true really wasn't true. What I believed to be the truth was a lie the whole entire time, and like your whole world was built, your whole understanding of life was built off of a thing that ended up being untrue, and that in itself can be overwhelming. That in itself can be a daunting task. So therefore, when somebody's offering their hand out to give you a helping hand, it's hard for you to receive it because, yo, it's a level of mistrust that now developed because of the fact matter is, like, yo, if I couldn't believe this first person, how can I really believe you? And that's the real talk of where we are right now in our lives. My prayer is that, like, yo, we really don't continue to occupy this falsehood, that we really begin to embrace the real truth of what God really has for us and what life really is. Because you can't choose, you can't, like we quit talking for the past 2 weeks, you can't change what you can't confront.
That's right. Uh-huh. You got to confront. Yeah.
You got to confront the truth of the matter.
That's true.
Because that lie is it's really a convenience thing. You're swimming because it's convenient.
Wow. That's something. That's something. You know what? I want somebody, if you want to, you could call in. Call in here on the radio show with us, 657-383-1471. We want to hear some different examples. If you see, what is your perception of drowning in truth but swimming in lies? We want to hear you. Call in live. Call in live right now on the show, 657-383-1471. And if you're listening, you're watching, type that in on your page and tell somebody to call in. We want to hear from you.
Yeah.
We definitely want to hear from you. We want to hear, you know, your point of view, what you got to say or how you feel about the matter of, you know, different things, man. So, Pastor, go ahead.
My question is, what lie is so good that it allows you to deny the truth?
Because a lot of times we'll embrace the lie because the thought of the truth hurts too much. Like real truth. Like, listen, at the end of the day, I've heard people say that if my spouse is cheating on me, right, I'd rather believe the lie than to confront that truth.
Because the depth of betrayal is so deep.
It's so deep
that you don't want to, you'd rather be numb to it than actually experience it.
And have to deal with that. With those issues. And there are a lot of things, man, where we'll just embrace the lie over. We'll be like, you know what? I don't want to know. It's almost like I was watching Maury a couple times. And one guy, he was like, you know what? I don't even want to see the results. I'd rather just live my life with the thought that I have right now and just function than to know that truth. Even though that truth may be
what I wanted. But the possibility of it not being
what I wanted is what I don't want to face.
Wow. So my question is, if you're living in that, are you really free?
That's deep.
Yeah, like, are you really free? Because in the back of your mind, no matter what you how much you would deny, you're always going to want to know the truth.
But you know what? You may want to know the truth, but a lot of times, really deep down inside,
you can't handle the truth.
You can't handle it, so you'll continue to swim in the lies of life. You'll continue to swim as long as I'm still functioning, or I have a perception in my mind that I'm functioning,
right,
that everything is okay.
Right.
Because a lot of times, the truth makes things not okay.
No, it don't.
Even though I know the truth, the Bible says the truth will make you free.
Right.
But the truth may make you free of what you never want to let go of. You may love the lie, or you may love the person who has been lying.
Right.
And the truth may bring a disconnect that you don't desire.
Between you and that person.
Between you and that person.
That's deep. That's deep. And the thing about it now, for those who are believers, you're coming to the church in an atmosphere of opportunity to be free. But because the lie, it pacifies your fear, you will never be free.
I don't want to ever admit that that's my issue. I don't want it to ever be known that this is what I'm dealing with. So I'll let everyone around me believe the lie that I've been living. Because even though this truth, I'm in the atmosphere of truth, which can make me free.
Right.
But I don't think I can survive without the things the lie's been providing me.
It's a making process. Like, it's like lies are almost like heroin.
Mm.
Because what heroin does, what makes heroin addicts or the recovery from those who are addicted to heroin so debilitating is because what heroin does, it kind of supplements the natural hormone that your body produces to keep you from feeling pain.
Mm-hmm.
So what it does is it overloads it to the point where the body stops producing what it was naturally producing to help buffer pain. So when you come off of that, now your body is feeling everything.
Wow. You know what's deep about Apostle, when he was preaching earlier, he was talking about the scales of a fish.
Right.
And the different examples of what the scale, and it was one thing I didn't get a chance to read it. I wanted to say it, but the scales are actually used to prove the species of the fish's identity. So the way the scales are shows what type of fish I am.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times, yo, if you walk up on a fish, a mm-hmm. person who studies fish, if the fish is already scaled a lot of times
mm-hmm.
and there's no scales on it, just by looking at it, a lot of times you can't determine what type of fish it is. Because without the scales, it may look just like another fish. But the way the scales are determines that identity. And a lot of times, it's the same with us. We all got scales, different things about us. But it really shows who we are. Like, it shows, you know, what we are, who we are. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of times, even though we got some negative things attached to our life, not saying our identity is the negative thing, but our identity shows the negative thing that we survived.
Yeah.
So, yes, this I did encounter this thing, but my identity now has went beyond what it was. Now I'm, like, I've conquered that. So right. Now that's my identity, a right. conqueror of that
yeah.
issue. And a lot of times we get stuck at what it was. Pastor Boone, this is who he was. This is what he did.
Right.
Not giving you the identity of what you came through.
Right. And I think one of the things, one of the reasons why people drown is because they panic.
Oh, come on, man.
They panic. And because they panic, they are now become a danger, not just to themselves, or who ever been assigned to save us.
Wow.
So maybe the reason why you're drowning is because the truth is so profound that's causing you to panic. How can I live past this?
Wow.
How can I look this person in their face knowing that they're responsible for this? How can I now continue loving this person, knowing what this person has done to me?
Wow. Bro, I was just sitting here thinking about the lie and the truth. You talked about panicking, like we panic in certain situations. Now, the lie, you may be so used to standing on a foundation of a lie, which may be shallow. You know how to walk in it. You know how much to say. You know how to maneuver around. The truth takes you to a different foundation, which may be way deeper than where you've been used to standing at.
So it's almost like, okay, if I want to deal with a lie, it's equivalent to me saying, I'm going to cut down this tree, but I'm not going to save the roots.
Yes.
I'm going to cut down, well, sometimes with lies, like, yo, man, you know how many families are only held together
by a lie?
That people are holding back lies?
Yeah, no, for real.
Like families are held together. Families are not in total war right now because people are living with the lie that they sometimes take to the grave.
What? Yo, so many lies have been took to the grave. Why you think later on in life we find out family secrets of different things that was kept? You know what I mean? And all of a sudden
right.
it pops out like, yo, this wasn't your mother, or mother was really your auntie. Maybe.
Or that wasn't your father.
That wasn't your father. There are some things that, like, you know, lies, man, I'm going to tell you, because the truth of things, especially when a lie has been going on for so long, and when the lie has been told, and that lie has been in what you said you love. I mean, this lie has been embedded, where the lie has now become the only foundation that you know.
Or the only thing is, like, you.
That's why wherever there's a lie, most times sin is involved.
Come on,
because you don't have to cover up truth.
Because truth is what it is.
You have to cover up righteousness. Who wants to cover up? Who wants to cover up like something good that he does? But whenever you sin, that is, and you try to hide it, that's when the lie begins.
Wow.
So you can have your children build false identities off of a hidden lie.
Listen, that's what we see a lot of times, man.
Right.
Like let's talk right now. Let's talk on some real. We all been in some situations, if you be honest, where you bell towards the lie versus the truth.
Oh, yeah, because with the truth comes conflict.
Yo, man, listen, and the thing about it, we should all embrace truth as much, you know what I'm saying,
mm-hmm.
as possible. But I'm going to tell you, man, there are things right now. And this may be a real touchy, you know, subject or situation, but there are people that are living so happily now, right? Things are well now because there's a lie in there somewhere.
That's hidden.
That's hidden.
Yep.
And the love that we have for the individual or the situation or however gives the individual the justification to say, I got to save me and this person from this situation.
Yeah.
And that's real touchy, B. That's real touchy. That's a real touchy situation. So we're going to swim in this lie because I refuse
to sink
in this truth because I don't even know if we could survive
this truth. The truth is a humbling matter.
Wow.
That's why you drown in it. Because it's a humbling matter. God is humbling you. The truth isn't meant to kill you. Truth is to make you free.
Make you free.
Make is a property. It doesn't set you free.
Make you.
It makes you free.
It makes you free, meaning that the truth has to build you back up into who you should be.
And before I make it, I got to destroy it.
I got to destroy it. So I got to build you. I'm going to make you over. Let the truth
make the marriage over.
Make it over.
Make the church over.
Make everything over.
Make it over. Like, yo, I'd rather tell you the truth right now off the back and say, boom, this is our truth.
This is our truth. Now let's make this truth make us free.
So we can make a better future.
Forget a better future. Let's get free from any thoughts or any attempts of the lie continuing. Let's kill the lie.
Kill the lie.
Let's kill the lie that we've been living.
Can I say something? God will only take you as far as your last sentence of being.
That's right.
I don't care how successful you are, you're always going to come back to deal with that lie.
That's right. And it comes up. What it says, what's done in the dark comes to the light.
If you go with yourself, be not seen, God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, that shall he also reap. You're going to have to deal with the seed of the lie you sow.
Yes, you do. Listen, call in right now. Anybody that may be watching, still, if you see it, if you're just viewing, whatever you're doing, if you peeking in, sneaking in and out, watching, call us at 657-383-1471, live on the air here at Dirty Church Radio. We are live. Unrestricted conversations.
Right.
Drowning in truth and swimming in lies is the topic of discussion right now. We need to align our lives back up and build our lives with truth. A lot of us, right, a lot of us, we've been believing a lie that, you know, the way things is the way they always have to be.
Right.
You know, some of us think that, you know, our family, you know, have been full of poverty throughout generations, so it's just now passed down to me, and it's nothing I could do about it but pass it down to the next generation.
And that poverty is lying to you.
It's lying to you. Let's kill the lie.
Yeah,
let's kill the lie. Let's face the fact that it's a lie. Let's face the fact that it's a lie. And yes, this is what I've been. This is where I've been. This is what's been destroying me. This has been keeping me messed up. This is what got me bitter. This is what has unforgiveness in my heart. This is the thing. But, yo, so we can no longer be afraid of what the truth will produce in our life.
My enemy has this quote saying, if someone tells you who they are, believe them.
Believe them.
Like, it's like, if the truth shows you who they are, believe it. Believe it. If truth shows you what it is, believe it. Because you're only free or bound by what you choose to believe.
That's true. Listen.
You're only free or bound by what you choose to believe. If you continue to believe that person is honest and true, even though they're not, you're now bound to that belief.
Mm-hmm.
But if you believe the truth of what they're showing you, that they're not trustworthy, then you're free from that belief.
And it's something, man. I'm just sitting here. I'm just thinking how many lies that we've embraced. You know, some of us throughout life, man, we've been dealing with a lot of difficult situations. We've encountered a lot of different things about ourselves and about others. And a lot of times we embrace the lies that have been spoken, and we embrace the lies that we've been telling. Because on the other side, the truth a lot of times will disconnect you from some things that you do not want to let go of. The truth, like we said, it comes to make you free, and it frees you. It really will free you. It will free you from the thing that has been slowly killing you. It will free you from the thing that has been keeping you stuck. It will free you from the fears that you've been believing in, even when the fears speak those lies to you, that I didn't graduate. So this is what I've done. This is how far I can get in life. This is the level that I'm going to stay on. Every time I try to do better, I always mess up. So this is who I am. I'm unsettled. That's the lie. And a lot of times you get so used to the lies that you're comfortable in them. You know how to swim in them. You know how to backstroke in them. We dive in them because we know how to function in them because we've been telling them for so long and we've been receiving them for so long. But when the truth comes, when we're in the atmosphere of deliverance, when we're in the atmosphere of where the truth is, the truth that's willing to cut and dig into the root, I'm talking about the deep roots of the lies that you've been living. The truth is willing to cut deep in there. But when it cuts, it's not coming in there plain. It's gonna disconnect you from some things that you've been embracing for a long time and that you don't want to let go of. And right now, some of us, we've been in church today, in different churches throughout the world or whoever, and you've been in the atmosphere of a word speaking to you, telling you what you need to do. You know, get out of that house. Leave from around them people. You know what I mean? Stop going here. Stop going there. Pull yourself back together. But as soon as you left, you went right out of that word and begin to lay right back down with the lie. You begin to make love to the lie. You begin to embrace and wear the lie like some fine clothes.
You wore the lie t-shirt.
Wow, walked in with the lie.
You wore the lie t-shirt and you put that lie on. You got the mic, giving out the facade, and then everything is okay. And you really broke it.
Wow.
If I can't get delivered in church, where can I get delivered?
Mm. Where can we get delivered?
It's like going to the hospital and they say we can't sit you up here.
Mm.
Then where else can I be sitting up at?
And it's something like this. Let's say right now you're in the atmosphere, you're drowning in some water, and I've got my hand, and we're trying to pull you out.
Mm-hmm.
But you're fighting
the pull.
The pull. You're fighting. Your belief in the lie becomes the anchor that makes you sink deeper into the situation.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and it's deep, man. I'm going to tell you.
Is it possible? Now, you said something really profound, bro, as far as in regards to, like, that lie being the anchor that will sink you even the more. Is it very possible that you were drowning and not even on it?
That's the whole thing.
You were never really swimming.
But it's the perception that I'm swimming.
You were drowning. I remember telling from the hood.
Mm-hmm.
How they were in the funeral car,
not realizing
it was already dead.
They was already dead.
not realizing that their fate was already sealed.
And that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to seal your fate. It's almost like, you ever seen that commercial back in the day where they show a whole bunch of teenagers in the car, they having fun, they drinking and they're smoking. And then it says, like, don't let this be a joyride to your death.
Yeah.
Like, don't leave. Like, they were having fun. Oh, I'm just enjoying life. Oh, we partying. We coming from the club. We're enjoying ourselves. It's all good. But not realizing that you're about to lose the will. Or that something's coming your way that you're not going to see. Because your attention is on the fun. It's on the moment that you're happy. The convenience. You know what I mean? The fulfillment of you fulfilling yourself in the moment. And your fulfillment,
right.
Your fulfillment is the thing that is slowly killing you when you think that you're coasting. When you think that you got the will.
I got control.
When you think I got control over this, I know how to function. I know how to drink. I know how to drive when I'm drunk because I've been doing it for so long. I know how to get high and drive because I've been doing it for so long. So I'm okay. I'm good. So I don't want to hear that truth. I don't want to hear the truth that I need to stop this.
Right.
I don't want to hear the way out because I got this. So when I get in the atmosphere of the wisdom words that's coming out of you, I drown in that. I feel like I'm suffocating in that.
I feel like you're doing too much.
You're doing too much. You know, it's too much for me. It's too much for me to deal with. Your truth is too much for me to deal with. Your truth comes with too many rules. Your truth comes with too many obligations. Your truth, it comes with too much.
It makes me accountable.
I don't want to be accountable
for where I am.
I just want to live my life. I just want to enjoy my life.
And blame others for why I am where I'm at. I want to blame others. Will be the reason why I'm where I am.
That's right. I want to keep the finger pointed.
And here is the deception of we live in a culture right now, man. Like especially in church, everything ends with a dance. And it's easy to dance with a lot, but worship only comes with truth.
Wow, that's deep, bro. I didn't even have this right here. This page's been on here for a minute, even like we've been doing this. Listen to this. And I just look, it says, how to reverse Satan's prophecies. It says, Satan's plan is simple. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. John 10:10. He kills through disease and sin. He steals through robbing us of our blessings. He destroys individuals through unforgiveness, strife, and bitterness. The adversary is called a thief. because he sneaks into the circumstances of a believer in the same manner that a thief presses into a guarded or protected house by overpowering the spiritual strong man in the house. Wow.
Yes,
deep. No, I'm looking at that, man. How many?
So,
wow.
And another thing my most thieves are, they case your house. They know who comes in, who comes out. And they pick the most vulnerable person, the bum rush, the overpower, and walk into a home invasion.
And that's why it's not good to allow the enemy to know your agenda. Figure you out, to know your moves.
You know when you need, you know when you come.
Like me, like I drive truck, right, and I go different, you know, places, right, and we deal with money, we deal with checks, cash, we deal with a whole bunch of stuff. So, but what we do is we don't deliver to the same store at the same time or the same day all the time. So no one can actually figure out a pattern of where we're going to be at. And what time we're going to be there.
So almost the same is, like, the lie knows your pattern?
Yeah, it knows your pattern.
It knows your rhythm. It's like a fighter. If I get your rhythm down to the back, I can counterpunch anything you throw. I got your cadence down.
Based on the way you live your life, based on the way that you live your life, the lie will come in with a feeling like, oh, he needs me now.
Yeah.
I know he's going to pull on me now because I know he won't face that.
Hey, well, how do you say you lie to your basement?
Yo, for real, man, and that's the thing, man. Like, we will always embrace – I'm not saying we will always, but a lot of times we embrace the lie first.
Yeah.
Because the truth is too much to deal with.
The truth may be contrary to what your feelings feel.
Listen, this week on some real, I was in a situation, you know, family issue, whatever, and I was in a moment of truth. But in that moment of truth, I wanted to run from it. I wanted that moment to be a lie. I did not want that moment to be my truth.
Yeah.
And I wish me running from it or getting away from it could change the circumstance where that moment would be a lie and that I would be running into the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And it's a lot of times, man, for real, man, like, listen, it's so easy to lie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Listen, you right now, you could be filling out an application for a job. And all of a sudden, you'd be like, yo, my situation, I need this, but I can't let them know this.
Like, I can't let them know what I got fired from a last
job. No. So we're going to fix this thing up real nice, and we're going to word this thing a certain way. You know what I mean? So what ways do we lie?
And by law, your previous employer isn't really allowed to tell your new previous employer what you got fired for.
Wow.
Not knowing that God has already protected you from your past, but you'll lie about your past.
We'll lie about our past because now I don't want to go into this place, right?
Right.
With the perception of that, even if they do hire me with that information. I don't want to be that. I don't want to be the reason why I'm lying, the reason why I lie, because I don't want the truth to be everyone else's perception of me, because I don't think I can deal with it. I don't think I can function with it. I don't think I can handle with it you knowing that I used to be a prostitute. I don't want to be, I don't. Even though that's my truth, I'm going to give you a lie.
There was a story. You made a story last week. I can't recall where the story from. But there was a guy, and he's the CEO of a company, and he's about to retire.
Uh-huh.
And he's trying to crown a successor.
Uh-huh.
So what he did was, he said, yo, retiring, I'm going to give all you guys this seat. Give everybody in the executive board a seat. And within 1 year, I want you to bring that feedback to. So this one guy who had the creativity, he took it home and he planted it and it didn't grow. Kept watering it, and it didn't grow. He come soon when harvest time came, when fall came, everybody brought their plants around, showing how far their tree was growing, all that kind of stuff, showing how big their tree was getting.
Mm-hmm.
And he was frustrated. He's like, yo, why their tree growing and mine ain't? But he stuck with it, kept growing. When the year came up, and the boss said, I want all you guys to bring your seed, bring what you got tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody came in with all these different trees and these bushes that grew up, all that stuff. And this guy said, well, you know what? I'm going to take what I got and let them know, hey, I tried. He brought it in there. He was the only one in the whole entire room with nothing to show for. And then he didn't try. He wasn't working. And for nothing to show for. And then the man got up, field guy, and said, I want this guy. Pointed out that they had nothing to show for. Couldn't come forward. He said, man, you got the job. Said, what the guys didn't know is I boiled all those seeds so they couldn't produce. Just to see who's going to come in a year later and be honest about their story.
Wow. So everybody else that brought something in, it wasn't from that seed. Wow. Yeah, that's deep.
They brought their lie.
Wow, that's good.
Not knowing.
Yeah.
That it wasn't designed for it to grow.
It was designed for honesty.
It was designed to see how integrity. Integrity is going to be.
Wow.
So no matter how ugly your tooth is, God said, "Bring me your tooth," because it wasn't designed to work.
Wow. So now we have to go back to this now. Let's examine ourselves. What situation have we been connected to that the assignment wasn't for it to prosper, but it was for us to be honest about the situation and still having a mind to diligently work regardless of the results that we're seeing? God wants to see, will you give up? Because for that man to be honest, he was trying his best to produce something out of what couldn't be produced, what couldn't reproduce itself. If it was a whole year, a seed that was boiled, it was already dead, it can't do nothing. But he stuck with it the whole time. How many things that we may look at as a failure
was really going to be a lesson?
Just a lesson to build your endurance, to build your promise.
Right.
To the situation.
Right.
You know, to build your promise that regardless, since God gave me this, I'm not going to let go of this regardless of what I experienced by being attached to this thing.
So my question is, do you believe that the church has built an atmosphere that living the lie is more acceptable than living your truth?
At times, I would say, because sometimes you hear things, and this is,
right.
You hear things like, yo, fake it till you make it. But so when you hear fake it till you make it,
right?
Really, that's like, even though you can say, you know, you're just putting your mind to the future and putting on the clothes of your future before time. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, I got that. I understand that from my standpoint of having faith and believing. But, yo, if your marriage is really struggling, you should feel free enough to come to church and not have the facade as if everything
is all right.
Is all right.
Because things can't become all right until we deal with what's not all right and be honest about
what's not right.
Yeah.
I really believe right now that we as a church, we don't take a free church, they buy in line.
No, listen.
Everybody's lying.
No,
everybody's
for real.
Lying. Hey, you on TV lying.
That's what's taking place. That's why I'm saying, bro, we swimming in lies, but drowning in truth. We're in an atmosphere where the truth should make us free, but we'll choose the lie because it seems like the truth ain't producing nothing.
And I will pacify you in your lie.
Wow. I will pacify you in your lie.
I'll make you dance
in your lie.
I'll make you run around and be emotional
in your lie. Never getting to the issue. Never dealing with the skeleton in the closet. Never attempting to clean out the closet.
Right.
Never admitting their skeletons in there. So let's deal with, let's rent them. Let's not allow these skeletons, right, to be ghosts that haunt me.
Right. Right.
So we're talking about to the point where whatever this lie is, right, it has to die. It has to die so the real me can live.
Yeah.
This lie is keeping the real me in prison.
And I'm miserable.
I'm miserable, but I'm too embarrassed because the perceptions of people, and I got a title, and I'm so-and-so, and I know so-and-so, and I'm connected to so-and-so, so I can't expose that part of me. So it's better for me to live this lie because at least I can still get the rewards that the lie has been producing in
right.
my life. I can still get the preaching engagement that the lie has been producing in my life.
Not knowing that all those things are just temporary beings.
Temporary.
Like, that is, man, I know we're going to talk about, I know we're going to name drop on 32 Radio a lot of times, but that's one of the turning things about one young preacher who's on TVN and had it all.
Mm-hmm.
But because that wasn't the truth, he died in New York.
Yeah.
Over drug overdose.
See, I mean, whatever. And listen, man, listen. There's some people that you see every day still breathing. But
right.
the lie done killed them.
Yep.
I'm telling you.
They didn't marry yet.
Listen, it's this drug out right now, right? It's bug, right? It's deep. That's what's called Flocka or whatever.
Yeah,
I don't know if you ever
Flocka,
seen these Flocka,
Flocka
trips. And everybody who be having these trips, for some reason, it takes them to the ground, and they all swimming. It seems like wherever this drug does, it makes them feel like they have to swim on the ground for some reason. But I seen this one video that was deep. And I'm going to talk about this other video I seen, too, where I got to watch part two. But it's this video where the guy took the hit of the flopper, whatever. He starts tripping. And then all of a sudden, he's saying, hallelujah, like, Lord, help me. Please, get them off me, Lord. They pulling me. It's pulling me. Help me. Like, we attach ourselves to things, to these lies, that once these lies get a part of us, they begin to feast on our future. They begin to feast on our destiny. It's like we're filling the belly of lies with our life by staying connected to these things.
Wow.
And it's this one girl. I know some of y'all probably seen this video. I just seen it yesterday. It's this girl who was on drugs, and she said she used to be a Sunday school teacher, and she said she had got married. She was brought up in a God-fearing home, whatever, and everything, but what she loved
mm-hmm.
began, she married the lie.
Wow.
A lot of times you think what your prince in shining armor is, or your princess with the beautiful dress is, and we're just using that as a metaphoric, symbolic type of situation is that very lie that's setting you up for failure. So now you see this girl who's all messed up from drugs, mouth twisted, just can't keep her body straight, functioning. But this is a person who wants taught Bible school. This is a person who once dressed very well, took good care of herself.
Wow.
But by embracing a lie, the voice of a lie, and falling in love with that voice of a lie, took her on a journey outside of her true perception of what God created her to be.
Right.
So now, right, she's been swimming in the lie because I can't let go of this addiction. I think that I'm functioning. I'm really drowning. Think when I'm in the midst of truth, that's when I'm drowning. I think in my moment of being delivered and saved is my moment of panic. It's my moment of panic where
I can't get rid of this.
I can't give this up. I can't give this thing up. So just like you said earlier, the person who's a heroin addict, the heroin now has become part of their DNA. That it's all in their body. So now when you try to rid them of it, lock them in a room, now their body goes through turmoil. Their body goes through shock. They're throwing up. They feel pain. They feel all of these things of withdrawal.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you right now, a lot of times, bro, to truly get free of what we've been
addicted to,
yes. And we've been addicted to the lies we've been telling,
mm-hmm.
and the lies we've been believing.
Right.
But there's a withdrawal that has to take place, and the withdrawal ain't easy. The withdrawal is not easy, especially when these things are whipped from your mind and now it lives in your heart.
Yeah, yeah. Because now God Himself got to uproot that thing from your heart.
That's a painful process.
You gotta unroot that thing from your heart. It's better to get a heart transplant than it is to try to dig up that old stuff that's so embedded.
Because it's a delicate situation.
Delicate.
To be able to have to maneuver inside of the heart, but the word is sharper than any two-edged sword.
Yes.
It can go into the intents of the heart, into the marrow of the bone. It has the ability, right? But the problem a lot of times is who we're around in the midst of our deliverance
ain't skillful.
They are not skillful enough, yeah. Or even patient enough, because some surgery takes a lot of hours.
Yeah.
Some surgery, major surgeries, it can be time consuming. And a lot of times, we're so quick, we want everything to be microwaved, so I want you to hear my word, get delivered, and now go on with your life. Where there's no time that's spent with the individuals no more.
Right.
To actually deal with these people through their withdrawal stages.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I've just been smoking crack for 20 years. All right, I came to church and I got this word, so now I got the word, I want to be free, but now I'm experiencing the withdrawal. But from what has been having me bound and held down and locked down for so long. But now, that's the time you choose to leave me alone?
That's one of the... It's funny because while you're talking about, I'm reminded back to my uncle. He had a open heart surgery. And what they did was they took his heart from his body, put it in the tray, worked on it, and then put the heart back into his chest, take all the victory, all that kind of stuff, and then now he had a hope and start beating it.
Mm. Had the hope that the heart could handle the process of what they just took it through.
And take the shock and hope it beat again.
Mm. And some of us right now, since you use the word shock, some of us are in a situation where we're a shock away from our breakthrough.
Yeah, yeah.
But like we're a shock away from living.
Yeah, yeah.
We're a shock because, listen, the truth may shock you.
But it'll make you live.
But it'll make you live. The truth will shock you because it is exposed and lets you see what you've been believing. Because you've been speaking the lies for so long and believing these lies for so long that it's become the only thing that you know.
It's a lie.
It's a lie. But the truth comes in, and it illuminates the darkness of the lies.
Right.
And it
right.
exposes it. It's almost like this. You ever been embarrassed? Have you ever been embarrassed?
Yeah, yeah.
Just imagine you telling a lie for so long, and then all of a sudden you walk into a room, and everybody you've been telling that lie to, the lights come on, and now they see your truth. And they're all looking at you, responding to you
according to
what they see.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the feeling you would feel like, how do I get out of here? What's the next lie that I can tell?
Yep.
I just want to say to somebody out here right now, you may have been lying, or you may have been believing lies. You may have been functioning and moving in the lie of life. And the lie may have been the comfortable place for you. It may have been that place that you're so used to. But I declare, this goes for me, this goes for him.
Yeah.
This is a season that we have to embrace the truth. And regardless of what that truth that Christ brings, the word of God, that truth, it's going to shock you. It's going to wake some things up. It's going to let you see some things. The truth will show you the ugly.
Yes.
It's going to show you the pain. It's going to show you the hurt.
The mirror.
But it will make you free from those invisible handcuffs and shackles. That isn't it crazy how you can be shackled with fetters and handcuffs? Now, if they're tight, you can actually feel the bondage.
Yeah.
But if they're loose and you're able to still walk and move your legs, it doesn't feel as bound as it is.
If you almost have an illusion that you're not in prison.
That you're not in prison. And sometimes the enemy will give you enough space and room for you to have a sense of freedom to make you feel like you're free, still have the chains on you.
Yeah.
And you won't ever experience the chains until you actually get in front of your deliverance.
And the funny thing about it is, bro, to be honest, I'm sitting out here like, sometimes we that understand truth and are dealing with people who may be living or perpetuating a certain lie within their own reality, we do a mistake of always throw them out. I mean, that might be the moment of truth for them.
That's right. Wow.
There might be that moment of truth. Let them experience that moment of truth. Don't bail Johnny out this time. Let Johnny stay in jail. So Johnny can face the reality of truth that this is not a lie for me.
Yo, bro, I kid you not. This is crazy. We're having this book right here, this right here. This is deep. I didn't even know that all this stuff was right here, and we're talking about this. It says right here, shut out the lies. If you knew a person close to you was known for continually lying and telling stories that were actually not true, I am certain you would place no confidence in that person's words. Why is it, then, that believers will continually say, the enemy is telling me this and he is telling me that? The Bible identifies the adversary as a liar and the father of lies. Why then do we dwell on the suggestions pouring into our minds that are the product of the world's greatest liar? If we know that the darts burning into our thoughts and emotions are coming from the enemy and the enemy is a liar, then shut out the liar and close the door on the lie. Use the phrase that Jesus said to Peter when the enemy tempted to throw a lie, that Jesus would not die. At Christ, the Lord demanded, get behind me, Satan. Truth should lead you, and all lies should remain behind you.
Yeah.
It is time to follow truth. Allow truth to lead you. And allow the lies
in your past.
To be in your past. allow the lies to be in your past. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of us, we've been talking on here, a lot of us, we've been lying to ourselves about different other things, and our situations make us lie. Other people's failures make us lie about our situation.
Right, right, right.
We see other people failing in different areas, and then we begin to tell ourselves that their situation will be our situation. But you know something that's so funny that I've never seen, and I got to say this because it's funny. I've seen this video where this heavyweight fight was about to take place. So the dude, he gets in the ring. They announce his name. He's walking around. He's looking like he's about to do some work. Until his opponent stood in front of him. He looked at him. He's still trying to look like, oh, all right, this is about to be a fight. They touch gloves. They go to the corner, each other corner. All of a sudden, they ring the bell. As soon as they ring the bell, the dude gets out the ring and walks out the fight. He leaves the fight. In that moment, it's almost like that moment became a prophetic moment for him. He saw his future.
Before I get to this point, I'm out.
Can you say what you guys lie about and some lie Satan said? Listen, I'm going to tell you. I believe this. At the end of the day, all of the lies eventually become you saying them. Like, so really, it's the circle, like I just said, a lot of times it's the circumstances of other people or other situations that you see that make you lie to yourself. So let's say this. If a man cheated on his wife or a woman cheated on her husband, right? Mm-hmm. And they know somebody else that happened to, and the dude told the truth, but when he told the truth, the marriage was over. Most likely that individual at that moment, if that's his moment, he'll choose the lie over the truth because he's seen what the truth produced in someone else's marriage. My marriage can't overcome this. So the lie is going to be the safety net that I will embrace.
That's why it's very important for you to accept your truth and live in that truth. Like, if you get married, it's the truth that you're married and live in the truth of being married. You know what I'm saying? If you are a father or you're a brother and you have a responsibility because of the desire or you acquire with time, it's the truth that you're responsibility. So therefore, you don't know about lying. You ever about lying when you're doing what you ever been doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Word up.
Now you can't control people lying to you.
No.
When you lying about something, you are only lying because you're somewhere that you had no business being, or you're doing something that's contrary to whatever order or instruction you received prior.
I wonder if there's anybody watching this who never told a lie.
No truth.
You said no truth? What you mean?
That was me, T. Brad.
Explain that. No truths.
I don't know about
there are many. Some people may believe or the enemy, they may say the enemy is speaking to my mind or the situation, the circumstance where this situation is too much for me, so me dying or me ending my life would be better than me living with this situation.
Right.
I'm better off not here than to be here. And I know you might come back and say, well, maybe you are better off not here than to be here. That's something you can say, Keys. I know how you come.
That's what I'm saying, too.
Well, listen, some truths about me I can say right now is, right, I never went to college, right? I don't have a college degree, you know what I'm saying? Not saying that I can't have a college degree, not saying that I can't go back to college, but
For example, the Satan lied to Adam and Eve. Like, he lied in the garden. He's the father that lied, and it seems like he lied to us now. Like, you won't be delivered. You won't be set free. They ain't never going to get saved. How you going to tell me that?
I mean, there's so many things, man. There's so many of lying. And I know you're trying to say, and I'm not just talking about no redhead, no red pitchfork horns type of thing. The enemy can appear like an angel of light.
Yep.
So it could come in a form. He could come in different forms of different situations. You know what I mean? Different work through different people.
He lied about their future.
He can lie to you and say that, yo, you'll never amount to, or like, yo, you're a failure as a husband.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Or lie to you that, yo, your spouse is cheating, or your mind, and you're thinking that and feeding different things, right? And then all of a sudden, there's someone who had believed the lie and it wasn't true at all, and then all of a sudden, they wind up killing their spouse.
Right.
I mean, different things, man. Like, that statement right there is so general, because we all got different avenues that we live down, and there's different lies. There's different lies, man. Like, so it's hard to just boil it down to just one lie. You know what I mean? The devil, he was lying to Jesus in the wilderness.
The only thing the devil won't lie about is when he tells God about your sin. Because he's either accuser or the brother.
Yeah.
But every time you sin, he's in heaven's court telling the devil, take him like, yo, look what he did. Did he be lying? Or what if all those thoughts?
No, listen to what I'm saying. What I mean is like this, bro. At the end of the day, it really is all on you. Is what you choose to believe. Like I said earlier, if you would have been listening, right, he never makes you do anything. You choose it, but he presents different obstacles and situations in your path. Just like I said before, like, dead people can't hurt you,
right,
but they will make you hurt yourself by fear, by all of these different things, different scenarios. So it's not the point that, oh, the devil made me do it, blaming it. But, yo, he didn't make you do anything, but he presented something, and you fell for the okey-doke. And there's so many of us who fall for the okey-doke every day.
Every day.
And at the end of the day, you can only blame yourself. You can only, at the end of the day, it's your fault for what you choose to do, the decisions that you make. You said, what did he lie about in the Bible?
Hold on, Keith. Let me get right back with you, since you want to have Bible study. Oh man. Like we talking to Adam and Eve regarding the series. Like you gotta understand, like, the lies is not in the lie. Also, lies is also deception.
My Bible app. I love stuff like this, though, because it really gets good.
Now, the serpent was more subtle than any other beast of the field, right? It's in Genesis chapter 3. It does any beast of the field, in the field, right? He says, and he said to the woman, yea, has God said that you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The woman said, okay, you shall eat the tree of the garden, but the one tree in the middle of the garden, you cannot eat, but should I eat or touch it? He said, and then he said, the serpent said unto the woman, he should not surely die. But God doth know the day that he eateth the tree, that your eyes be opened, and ye shall be as God, little g, knowing good and evil. Like, he, it's not so much he'll lie so much as much he'll deceive you into doing something opposite of whatever God wants you to do. Also, Romans, tomorrow, also recommended Romans,
Revelation 12:7,
where he's talking about him lying to even the,
this thing, my Bible thing working so slow. Oh, here we go. Come on.
That's really a competition. We go even more with Jesus. Because Steve, we love you, bro. We're always trying to cut something up, but we love you anyway. But yeah, like the devil lied. The devil has lied the Bible.
Yeah. That's what I'm trying to enjoy. Because like, I got this thing on here.
But you know what that was like.
We're not going to just do that. I know the script. I just got to get here. So I can show him. No, it's not that one. Hold up. He lied. Listen, in the wilderness when he was talking to Jesus, when he took Satan into the wilderness, when Satan took Jesus into the wilderness, right?
Mm-hmm.
What did he say to Jesus? That if you were. He promised him what?
If you bow before me, I'll give you.
I'll give you. So he was presenting a lie to him for him to fall for the lie. You know what I mean? That like if you do this, this is what I will give you. You know what I'm saying? And what did Jesus? Jesus responded with the word. What's that scripture?
He said, "Man says I'm listening." That's in Matthew. Didn't he?
Then he said, "If you cast yourself
from the rooftop, will he save you?" Like he has a way he'll use God's word to manipulate.
To try to manipulate you, you know what I'm saying? And believe in something or saying it in a context where it's not, like you know what I mean? Like
not in the proper context of God, where God is really trying to say.
Yeah. There's so many different scenarios, and then you have to look at your own personal life.
Satan has given him anything. He already owns it.
Yeah.
It's like it's equivalent to me sitting here saying to you.
What I'm saying is, that's a lie, though. You said, like, where's the lies at in the Bible? That's a lie right there. Keys, that's one. That's what a lie is, and that's what the enemy do. He may offer you different ways out
that he
can't really give, or think that you're going to get a result of something that's not going to work out for your favor.
Right.
But give you like the example or make you feel like you're going to gain something greater from it. Just like Adam and Eve, right? Not realizing that he was offering, if you eat from this, this is what will happen, but not realizing when you disobey God's word, look where they got him. It got him naked. It got him kicked out of the garden.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It got him stripped, but thank God for the second Adam.
Right.
What you mean, how is it a lie? What do you mean, how is it a lie?
It's a con. Con is a lie.
I think you kind of trying to go way out there, and like a lie is a lie, man. You're trying to go way out there to an angle to try to, I guess, be...
He's trumping it right now.
Yeah. Yeah. That angle.
He's trumping it right now. But back to reality, what we're talking about as far as without that yoke, man, dispelling those lies in our life. So we can really embrace the truth, man. Don't get out the matrix of the lie.
But the thing about it really becomes a lie to you when you believe it. What the result of it? If I tell you right now, you know what I'm saying, I got a cake of poison or whatever like this, you know what I mean? And I'm telling you, like, yo, man, this is a good cake. Yo, it's going to make you strong.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's going to really do something great for you. It's going to, but the result of it, when you eat it, you die. You ate a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You embraced it. Regardless of whether I used the condom or I brought it in a deceptive way, whatever.
Right.
When you believe it, that's when you feel the damage of it.
Right.
When you believe something someone is saying. And that's the thing, man. So many different ways to twist truth. You got so many people right now with the Bible. Look at Jim, what's his name? Jim Jones, when they drunk the Kool-Aid. There's so many people who have used this word itself. What's going on, man? Hey, yo, man, I'm going to get at you, man. You know the Purge 2018.
Yeah.
October 26th.
Yeah.
The Purge 2018, man. Listen, the main point of tonight is that regardless of where we at in life, bro, and what we're experiencing, that how painful it is, just like we've been talking about, you gotta face it to conquer it.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's the truth, how painful it may be,
that will make you free.
That will make us free.
Don't break your heart.
That's right. Truly liberate us. And I'm going to tell you something. The lie, a lot of times, is the more comfortable thing. It is the easy thing. It's so easy to tell the lie. It's so easy to embrace the lie, whatever that lie is. And whatever lies you've been living, you know what your lies are or the lies you've been believing. And some of you, you woke up. You realized that it was a lie, and you no longer living that way, or you know what I mean, allowing that thing to control you or whatever like that. We're saying right here that the enemy, just a quick thought. You remember the movie God's Not Dead?
Yeah.
You remember the part where the dude went to see his mother, who was now senile and dementia?
Yeah.
And then for a moment, she was talking to him, and she said something in the frame of like, the enemy can have you in prison, you can be in jail, but what he'll do is he'll keep the door open, right, to make you feel like you're not really where you really are.
It gives you a false illusion that it can't hold you in jail.
Yeah, because It's open. I can walk out any given time. So a lot of times that's where the enemy has us, or we have ourselves, because we give him the right and we empower him by our choices, right? The door is open, just like on Django. When Django set the dudes free, they was in the trailer,
right.
And he opened the cage. They had their freedom, but they was locked up so long that they stayed in the cage. There are a lot of different illusions that we're trapped in.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us have an illusion that we're free, and then some of us there's an illusion that we're bound. So. Yeah, now that's crazy right there.
Yeah, that's very oxymoronic or conundrum of the situation, because, like, yo, some are free but think they're bound.
And some are bound
and think they're free.
And that's the war. That's the war, because I'm gonna tell you, at the end of the day, the person that's bound, right, that think they're free, is believing a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And the person that's free,
but they're really
think they're bound, is believing a lie.
And the reality is that, what reality are you going to see?
Like they say, the world that I live in is not the world I live in. It's the world that I believe, that I think I live in.
What do you choose to believe?
For real. What world are you really living in?
Right.
Are you living in the world that your surroundings dictate, that the culture dictates? Or have you made up in your mind that I will no longer be led captive by the lies of my own thoughts and others' thoughts?
Mm-hmm.
I would not allow any other person's mindset to rule my world. I'm not going to give just any voice access to my world, my mind, my thoughts, my heart. I have to guard it so that I won't remain bound. Wow, that's something right there, man. That is something.
It's amazing that so many people drown in shallow water.
Shallow water.
And all I have to do is stand up.
Stand up. It's another video on Facebook. I know this one's funny too, where the guy, his boy is swimming in like 2 feet of water,
mm-hmm.
but he fell backwards. But to him, when he lost his footing, it didn't matter to him how deep the water was. He thought he was drowning.
Wow. Wow.
And a lot of us are in that situation where we've lost our footing. We lost our grip of life, the foundation. And we're feeling that moment of panic.
Right.
Because I don't know where I can stand at, because I'm laying on my back. And I'm like, yo, and I'm in this thing. But at the end of the day, if you just stand up, step out of the lie,
and let the truth be the foundation of which you stand.
Which you stand. And that we don't live lives either sinking. Man, so many of us are sinking, man. That movie, Get Out, where they showed the dude just falling.
Yeah.
In the sunken place.
Mm-hmm.
That's how life will happen.
Okay, all right. And here's the truth in itself is objective. You use that same logic of, well, I really kill them. I euthanize them. They went down their own.
But the fact is,
you kill them.
They're not here no more. They're dead. You kill them. Yeah, listen, I'm going to tell you like this. There's a story that I don't know the 100% truth of it, but they said that it's true. They said there's a guy who was locked inside of who locked himself in a freezer.
Mm-hmm.
And when they came, he was dead. And they pronounced him dead by hypothermia. But they said the whole time that he was inside of the freezer, It was unplugged, and the freezer had not been on for like years. It was broken back.
It was fear.
It was the fear of what he believed, that the lie became his truth.
And his body adjusted to the reality that was in his head.
And that's right. And when the lie becomes your truth,
right?
A lot of times, if it's deadly, it will kill you. And whatever that is. So, you know, the belief of what you believe is powerful.
Power of belief.
The power of belief.
That lie can become your truth, but don't make it just you.
That's right. It can be your truth, but it don't. That's right. That's good. It can be you make it true.
But it ain't does to me.
That's right. And that's what I'm saying. And that's the assignment of the lie. For it to become your truth.
Right.
That's the lie's assignment.
Supplant truth and become your truth.
That's
and
right.
Therefore altering your reality.
That's right. I always say this. The Bible says that the devil is what? The father of all lies,
mm-hmm.
right? And he's a liar and the truth is not in him.
Right.
And I also say this, that don't allow your life that you live make him tell the truth.
Yeah. Yeah, don't let what he accused you of be true.
Yeah, don't allow you, your life, your decisions, and the choices that you make turn Satan into a truth teller.
Right. Yeah. He's lying our time.
Yeah, because
he knew where you were.
Yeah, because when you believe it, you make him tell the truth. When you produce it and it becomes your reality, when he becomes the director of your life, and you begin to start living the episodes that he wants you to live, you become his Netflix channel.
Yeah.
And he make you play the roles that he wants you to play. And that you start believing those roles. And your life, if someone is suffering from some type of mental illness and believe that they were talking, I heard him say this before, illness, and believes that they were talking to someone, but everyone else around them sees that they really are not. Who would you consider the person with the mental illness is lying? Whatever is in his head is what's in his head. Is what he's seeing. Whatever he's seeing has became his truth.
And but truth in objectivity says is not true.
He opposes
everything God said.
Yeah, that's right.
So God is truth, he's the Father of lies.
That's right.
So he's the Prince of Peace, he's the author of the beauty.
Anti-Christ, anti-God.
Right.
Everything opposite, man.
Everything opposite God.
Listen, at the end of the day, my people, the Bible says that God wished that none of us would perish, but that what?
But the soul that lives shall die.
Listen, man.
You're lying to yourself.
So, I believe that God wants us to live. The enemy wants us to die. You're either going to choose death and life is in the power of the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof.
Right.
You're either going to live or you're going to die.
Nothing is serious. You're going to die according to what you believe.
That's right. It's appointed unto once man to die and after that judgment. And I just pray that regardless of where you at, that you don't have to feel as though that your life is over, that you don't have to stay stuck in a place of mental damage, that you don't have to be who your father was, your mother was. You don't have to reproduce the failures of others. You can break the chain of confusion. You can break the chain of chaos. You can live and you can be better tomorrow than you were today. I have a quote that I wrote, and it says, I must try every day to be better than yesterday for as long as I see today. So for every day that I wake up and realize that I'm still in existence,
right,
my mindset is to be better than the day that just passed. So until the next time, I wish people would have called in. I put the number out, but we're going to try next week, next Sunday. I want people to call in trying to get this thing back strong. But we thank everyone for tuning in tonight, Dirty Church Radio, Sunday night. Unrestricted conversations.
Yeah.
Drowning in truth, swimming, but swimming in lies. God bless you. The number is for Dirty Church Radio, and I'm about to tell you, you can write this down right now for even next week. To number, the number to always call in to Dirty Church Radio, if you want to call in, is 657-383-1471. 657-383-1471. 657-383-1471.
Right.
That's the number to call in on Dirty Church Radio, Unrestricted Conversations. Listen, man, we love you. We thank God for you out there, man. And we appreciate everyone that supports. Continue to spread the word. Help spread the word about the conversations that's going to take place. We've going to, I got some other things where it's going to start even looking, it's going to be looking different. It's going to be a whole different vibe set here. It's on a whole nother level that we're going to take this thing to. And there'll be some other guests coming on here, different talking with me and Pastor Boone and dialoguing about different things up close and personal. And even though there's some things, we'll be taking it out on the road, different conversations, you know what I mean, having it. You may see us on the golf course, riding on the golf course, playing golf on Dirty Church Radio, having conversations. So, I mean, different things. So we're going to really take this thing to a whole nother level and talk about the things that we need to learn, talk about the things we already know, so that we can evolve into who we should be and who God wants us to be.
Right.
I'm Elder J. Miller, a.k.a. Mr. Miller. This is Pastor Boone. And listen, we pray that you enjoy this segment of Unrestricted Conversations presented by Dirty Church Radio. We love you. Peace. See you next Sunday night at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Blessings to all of you.
God bless everyone. To those who are out there, this is Dirty Church Radio. Present Unrestricted Conversations with your host, Elder J. Miller, with my brother here.
Listen, my thing is like this.
Pastor Boone is in the building.
Love.
Tonight here, man. God bless everybody out there.